The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In this episode, we are going to continue our discussion about rethinking safety culture. And specifically, we are going to focus on standard work. How can standard work help drive the culture you think you want to create as it relates to safety? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into exactly how standard work supports the culture you want to try to create and how you can create standard work for all levels of the organization that are completely aligned with the culture we want to create. And we'll get into all of that in this episode. Before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, as promised, we are going to wrap up our rethinking safety culture discussion with standard work. Now, if you recall the first episode in this series, we talked about just rethinking safety culture, right? Dropping the word safety and just taking a look at the organization's culture as a whole and considering how safety supports the why the business exists and how we can align, you know, our safety efforts with that why. Okay, so, and then in the second episode in the series, we talked about, all right, one of the first steps you can take is setting expectations for those in the organization, those that are employed in the organization, and adding safety expectations to, along with productivity, customer service, cost, quality, right? You know, all those things that, you know, all these various companies purport to be all about. Well, what makes them all about quality is they've built a culture around that. So if you want to have an effective and an efficient and a world-class organization, you have to be really good at all of these things, not just one thing, because one thing will get you another and so on. For example, if you say, we are going to be first in class in quality, and that's all we care about, it's just going to be the highest quality product of its kind that you're ever going to be able to buy. None of the competitors can touch us. But if you're injuring people, you have turnover, you have unplanned stops in work, and then you have to start work back up, and you have to bring somebody over from another area to do two jobs now because somebody got injured, or now we have to hire new folks. And so that, how do you think quality is going to be impacted? Okay, so we covered all of that in the previous episodes. And if this is the first time you're listening to the Safety Pro podcast, first of all, it's awesome that you're here. Thank you so much. But go back and listen to the previous two episodes, because then this one will make sense. Obviously, you could listen to this episode as a standalone and kind of and get the benefits of standard work and how to get started. But certainly as it fits in the broader context of rethinking safety culture, it's certainly beneficial to go back and listen to the previous two episodes. And while you're there, you know, download, you know, all the other 132 at this point, other episodes, including the three that we have here in Rethinking Safety Culture. So that would be great if you did that. All right. So what is standard work exactly? And, you know, when people say standard work or leader standard work or daily standard work, they think of it, they think of the work part. These are the specific tasks, right, that we have to perform to support a particular end, whether it's quality, productivity, employee engagement, you know, from an HR perspective, or safety, right? Safety tasks. So, but I want you to, like a lot of things that I try to do, I go broad and then I bring it down to a practitioner level. But let's start broadly about leader standard work or standard work. It is more than the tasks that need to be done. Okay. Leader standard work or daily standard work or safety standard work needs to be viewed as a new way of leading in an organization. In our context, we're talking about culture. Okay. So standard work needs to be viewed as a means by which we change or affect change in our culture. Okay. And so when you park it in that place there, right, you see how important then standard work becomes. It's not just about, oh, I'll go and do that walkthrough or that observation later. I have this other meeting. No, because if we skip it, we are fundamentally impacting our culture by doing that. So that's why it's really, really critical that we grasp the gravity of standard work. It isn't just about checking a box and doing the work part. It represents that fundamental influence on our culture that we need to have daily, weekly, monthly, and so on. So think of standard work in that context as we move through this episode and start talking about, you know, the actual things that you can do from a practitioner standpoint, okay? It is critical work that we must do to reinforce and sustain the improvements in our culture that, you know, we think we want to have. So the standard work can revolve, in this case, safety standard work, can involve all levels of an organization, all right, all from the top down, okay? So let's talk about one of the most important roles in an organization outside of our, what we would call frontline workers, and that is their immediate supervisor. Those supervisors that have the most contact and exposure to the frontline workers on a day-to-day basis, shift by shift, those individuals make or break success in an organization by and large. I mean, Gallup has, you know, they've written many books on this, actually. The latest one called It's the Manager. I'm surprised they didn't say It's the Manager Stupid, because it's like, duh, how did we not know this? The immediate supervisor can make or break everything. So if you think about it, whatever my manager, my direct manager harps on the most, whatever they seem to focus on when we interact and drive and ask me to do more of or less of, that's what I'm going to respond to. So if we can get the direct manager supervisor to adopt this standard work, it would be visible. It will actually influence the workers and send a clear message of, this is what my manager thinks is important. This is what they value. This is what they expect. So you can't skip. The whole point of me saying that is you cannot skip that level. And we often do in safety. Safety managers, we go right out to the workers and we engage the worker. Hey, I noticed you weren't wearing your safety glasses. Do you know where to find them? Do you know? And it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How many times has that manager been around and went has been passed, you know, that work area or interacted with that associate or, you know, that laborer or that machinist or maintenance worker or whatever, and said nothing. So we do this as safety professionals. We often skip that manager and don't include them in this feedback. So while we do want to understand where we can make improvements to our, in the example of safety glasses, our PPE selection and availability and all that good stuff, we also want to make it a priority to go to the manager and say, hey, I noticed Blaine was running the machine over there without his safety glasses. And he said, you know, he needed to replace them and there weren't any left in the cabinet. And, you know, I mean, we have an Andon for that to replace those. We're gonna look to see how we can, you know, error-proof that. But, you know, I noticed you had already done your Gemba walk this morning or your other standard work, and you didn't notice that. You know, that's a concern, right? So, you know, and if my manager doesn't say anything, I guess I didn't do anything wrong. So look, this is key. This is something that we can't skip as safety professionals, looping in that manager and not to say, hey, FYI, I saw Blaine not wearing safety glasses, so check on him later. No, it's where, what was your role in this, in reinforcing this? It shouldn't require me going out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to catch that, to see that. You know, that's your role. That's your job as a manager. So standard work, I want to start with the managers daily. This is setting expectations as to the number of safety observations you expect them to do either daily or weekly. A safety walk, a startup meeting at the beginning of shift where safety is a focus, is the first thing you talk about. Set up a SQUID board. You may have heard me talk about SQUID, the acronym SQUID before, SQD. At a minimum, I've seen other areas on boards that are at shift startup boards, that kind of stuff. But SQUID is real simple because it's safety quality delivery. I've seen it where maintenance is in there, but they all start with safety. Safety quality delivery. And you could set up a board, and one of the expectations is daily standard work is that the safety metrics from the previous shift or previous day are entered. Were there any near misses reported or incidents that from which we can learn we have to communicate to the next shift? Putting the safety cross up there. If we missed any startup checks from the previous day, you get a yellow mark instead of a green mark on the little calendar of days if you've seen the safety cross. Quality, same thing. Quality metrics need to be up to date. We need to be communicating things that we need to focus on from a quality perspective, and then productivity or delivery. Where did we miss on startups yesterday on, you know, starting our work the previous shift? Or look, a SQUID board is very effective to start everybody on the right path. You talk about where we need to make some improvements, but you also have some shout outs that you can deliver of somebody who, you know, nailed their safety checks all week, or that, you know, the safety department did an audit and found, you know, no non-conformities and, you know, or stuff like that. So it's an opportunity to dole out praise as well as an opportunity to talk about the gaps we have, why we might be having those gaps and what we can do, more importantly, what we can do different today going forward to close those gaps. I mean, the startup is the stand-up meeting, whatever you want to call it, is critical. And so you have to require this of the immediate managers and supervisors, right? You have to say you need to do this every day. If for some reason you're not going to be there, you have a proxy. Do you have an assistant? Do you have, you know, maybe you nominate somebody who's, you know, very engaged in the workforce and can speak to these topics, the SQUID, right? And go through the board. Maybe have the safety coordinator come in and lead that if you're not going to be there. But it should be the manager leading the charge and starting with safety each and every time. So that's one daily standard work that is a no-brainer that is certainly easy to implement. And what I would want you to focus on is that on that safety board, you know, it has to be appropriate to your organization, your environment, and the nature of the work. But all the, like, equipment checks, maintenance work orders that are due today, like all those things should be should be surfaced there. We should be talking about what the workers could expect throughout their shift. And if workers have to do any kind of machine checks, maintenance themselves, PPE checks, or forklift inspections before each shift, and if there's any that got missed, that gets on the board. So the board should really be driven by, and there's a reason why I'm starting with the board, because that's sort of where we have an opportunity to gather everybody around at the beginning of each shift and talk about our performance, how we're doing. So think about what you would need to include on your squid board to help drive that culture, that focus on safety, then quality, then delivery. All right. So that brings us to some of the other standard work that we would throw up there. That would be starting with the workers. What expectations do you have of workers regarding safety on a daily, weekly, monthly, a quarterly, semi-annual, annual basis, right? That have to be done. And that includes safety trainings that are due or overdue or coming due that you need to call out. Three of us on the team didn't finish the annual, you know, RECRA training or the annual emergency evacuation training or something like that. That goes on the board and that goes to the managers and say, hey, we got to get this done. Do you need some help over there on your line to be able to do that? It takes 15 minutes. It's important that we get this done. You know, that's how that conversation goes. So what data, what information should we be feeding up on that board so that they can have these meaningful conversations? So think about, you know, what we expect our workers to do. How do we measure that? Remember, go back to the previous episode, just one episode back, setting the right expectations. What is it that we're expecting them to do? How are we measuring or observing that? And then how can we report out on how well, how good are we at that? That metric would show up somehow, either on the daily shift board or even on a weekly report that goes out, like an end of week wrap up every Friday morning or a Monday morning start of the week where you still have your daily shift stand-up meeting, but maybe every Monday you have a weekly recap of how we did, right? And then same with managers. What expectations did we set based on the previous episode for managers to engage in? What tasks? How many safety observations are you expecting them to conduct each week? How many safety walks are they expected to conduct each day or each week? How many safety meetings are they supposed to hold in a week or a monthly basis? How many safety committee members are there? And how many have actually made the safety meeting that week or that month or whatever? So those metrics, those measurables, remember the previous episode, how we measure and observe those, that is what we report out on, okay? That's the report that they get. And the reason why we count those and measure those is so that we can track them and we can influence them, right? What we measure, we can control. What we count, we can control. Now, I want to caution everybody, and I think we all know this as safety professionals, we want to avoid getting into this rut of just checking the box. I want you to add some qualitative measurements to the actions that they're taking. So if we say you need to do 3 safety observations a week, well, look at what they're writing up. Look at when they're doing the observations. They do it at the beginning of every shift, so they're always observing the same people for the most part. So a colleague of mine, Alan, he's a rock star in you know, workplace health and safety, and I've collaborated with him on many occasions and more recently with the root cause analysis training, rolling that out. But, you know, Alan shared with me one of the expectations for safety observations. He calls them drift busters. So, you know, because he looks for operational drift, where we have drift in our procedures and processes, and then engaging in deep diving and finding out where we can improve our processes. It's not the old behavior-based stuff. It's not the old, you know, stop where I stop them, I coach them, tell them that they shouldn't do that, and then leave when the drift is being caused by an error trap that we've created in the organization, or because it's a lack of available tools or equipment. And that's what we have to fix and focus on, right? So that's why we do these observations. So he was sharing with me, one of the expectations is that in your area, like if you're a manager, everybody on your team, at least by the end of the month, should have an observation done with them, on them, right? That's important. That's a qualitative measure. So that gets us away from, oh, they're just checking the box. Oh, I got to do an observation. So I'm going to, Blaine, I see Blaine working. Yep, he seems to be doing it okay. And I fill out the little form and I turn it in, right? So make sure you add not just quantitative, like, did you do your three this week? Add the qualitative. What were the results of those three? What were the impact of those three? What did we find? And start questioning perfection. I used to use that phrase. I always question perfection. So if you get a bunch of audits, observations that come back routinely time and time again, 100%, 100% safe, 100% safe, question perfection. Now, it isn't about just nitpicking and constantly finding something wrong, but there's a balance here. And I think we all get that as safety professionals. We all know that if you look hard enough, you'll find something. But the key is, how can we strengthen our processes? How can we improve our defenses against potential hazards and incidents, right? And we have to do that by engaging work where the work happens. So going out to the workplace and talking and engaging with those that are doing it. And that's sort of where my head always goes first when folks ask me about, you know, what should managers, supervisors be doing? Most of it, the bulk of it, should be out on the floor. When it comes to standard work, I'm in the context of standard work, they should be out there among the workers where the work happens. And the statistic out there that I've read is about roughly 80% of a team leader or direct manager's role or job or time, 80% of their time should be spent on standardized tasks, standard work. So we really have to formalize this. That gives them 20% of their time to you know, adjust and react and respond to an incident or something like that. But yeah, 80% of the time, right? The standardized work. For middle managers, you know, like area managers that have a couple of shift managers under them or something like that, it's about 50% of their time should be spent on standardized tasks. Site leadership, about 25% of their time. Any executive leadership, of course, 10% of their time spent on standardized tasks. And you could see why, right? You could see why. Because when you get to like the site leader, it's more strategic planning and seeing what's going on in all across the entire site during a given period and sort of planning for future adjustments and engaging with those managers. But as far as spending time out on the floor and doing a four-corner walk or a site walk with the area managers and the safety manager, yeah, site leadership, about 25% of the time on standardized tasks. You know, so you can scale that. You can kind of take a look at what you're asking your folks to do, and you can determine whether or not they're spending enough time given their position in the organization and their direct impact on that next level down. You could see clearly how much time they should be spending on this stuff. So standard work could include, we mentioned observations and inspections and audits. So first, I always start with regulatory compliance. We have to at least be meeting the minimum standard, right? So OSHA, EPA, that could be fire code requirements. But look at your various regulatory influences that we have to meet, and start there and start building up, you know, your standard work of things that have to be done. That includes training, by the way, as well, that has to take place. And then from there, you look at how we would improve those things that we want to add beyond minimum compliance that speak to more of building this culture that we're after. And that would be things like the behavior. I hate using the word behavior observations, but that's still very prominent in our industry today. And remember, it is not about the behavior. It is actually about what drives the decision-making process that results in what we're seeing, which is behavior, that drift, right? What is underlying what are the root causes? And I would encourage anybody that's on the community site, if you're a premium member of the Safety Pro Podcast community site, there's a series of video, the root cause analysis series, where we talk about drift and error traps. And so that's powerful. That's what we're talking about, okay, when I say behavioral observations. So when we start adding these additional above and beyond activities, above and beyond minimum compliance, we could see how we could start to craft and get creative, some things that will really drive that message of, you know, yes, this is what we're here to do, and this is what we make, and this is why we make it. Safety is one of the things in the how toolbox, right? That how we get this done. Safety is the how. And so that's key when you start devising and implementing standard work. Look at all of the activities that you expect them to do. Gemba walks, documenting interactions, and in what forms do we need to create to give them to support that? Do we use a digital tool for this? I'm a big fan of digital, you know, EHS management systems. If you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of leveraging technology, because, you know, it's one less thing that we got to do. And then, of course, I always like the layered process approach, right? LPA. I always like that, you know, you get with your quality team and your HR team and find out what standard work they already have that requires that manager to go out there, okay, and engage and add safety into that. They're already going out there. And remember SQUID, it's safety, quality, and it has to go in that order. I'm going out there to do a quality check on this workstation, right? So if you instill that SQUID mentality into the manager, right? They go out there, they're not going to go, hey, Blaine, just check and make sure you don't have any quality issues out here. And meanwhile, I've got a guard that's missing. My gloves are worn and the housekeeping is out of order, right? So you start with safety. You start and say, hey, Blaine, notice your glove. Do you need a new pair of gloves? Hang out here. I'll go get you a pair of gloves. Or, hey, do you have any safety concerns that have come up that I need to know about that I can take care of for you? No? All right. Awesome. So, I just wanted to check on the quality audit real quick, if you don't mind. And let's go through this and see if we've got everything you need to do that. I mean, it's real easy to start with safety. So just instill that acronym in your manager, SQUID, right? It doesn't matter why you're going out there. SQUID. Start with that. So if you're a safety professional in the organization, partner with quality, partner with HR. Like, what are we all of us collectively asking that manager to go out there and do? And how can we simplify that process? How can we flatten that out a little bit so it's a little more natural, so that when that supervisor goes out and engages, they have a couple of things they can touch on, right? And it's not about rushing through it. It's really about making sure we standardize this approach. So that's key. That's very, very important. Look at what reports you expect them to fill out, how they can turn those in. And again, you need to start creating, as a safety professional, you need to start creating a dashboard. How well are we performing standard work? Are we completing them? How are we counting them or tracking them? And more importantly, how can we add the qualitative aspect to this? So all of your dock audits, all of your machine inspections, even from the workers that they have to perform when they turn them in, you know, that are we going out and acting on those and responding to those? So that's I want to get you started on standard work. I'm going to have some examples of specific examples of standard work. I steer clear of it in this episode because of the wide, broad audience that we have in different industries. But I'm pretty sure you get where I'm going with this. I wanted to be able to introduce this standard work concept and how important standard work is. Now you have to start rolling up your sleeves and actually creating the standard work. Go back to the previous episode and get some ideas there in setting expectations. Again, I had a download in the actual podcast community site for, you know, setting expectations, roles, responsibilities, job descriptions, if you will, when it comes to safety. And in this episode, I will also go to the Safety Pro Podcast community and drop for this episode link, I will drop some specific examples for different levels of an organization of activities that you should expect people to engage in. But start rolling up your sleeves now. Start devising the actual work part of standard work and start taking a look at what it is we expect them to do. And then what cadence, how often, and then how we would track that. And that's going to help you as a safety professional set up the next phase here, which is metrics. How do I report out on this? How do I create a scorecard? And how well are we doing? And then when I start to see some gaps, I can engage with those individuals. So that is going to be sort of the work that you do, right? Every day. That's your standard work. So checking on these metrics, checking on these reports, what incidents occurred yesterday. More importantly, not just that an incident occurred, how long did it take to get the incident report filled out? How long did it take for the investigation or the corrective and preventative actions to be pitched and reported out on? How many, you know, preventative maintenance work orders are overdue or open? Safety suggestions that come in. What's the closure rate? How long does it take for us to respond to those things? Those are all things you, as a safety professional, you're looking at all that, right? Because we've built some tools that, you know, we set the expectation that we do all these things, but we're looking to see how well we're doing them. And then we can help provide feedback and guidance and coaching and support to help improve that going forward. So let me know what you think. Head on over to the Safety Pro Podcast community. Drop your suggestions and what you've done for standard work, some things that you think are really good ideas that folks should be engaged in and doing. Drop your comments and your suggestions over there. If you're not a member, think about becoming a member. It's free to join. Premium members get to enjoy the back and forth with replying and commenting, as well as creating content yourself and posting over on the community. So the link is in the show notes. And I hope to see you over there on the Safety Pro Podcast community. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast.